Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Buenos dias. That's about the extent of my Spanish, but I've been practicing it all week. Hey, if you have your Bible, why don't you take it and open it to Hebrews chapter 13. If you're using the Bible in the row in front of you, Hebrews 13 is going to be on page 1009. If you don't have a Bible, come see me when we're finished this morning, and I'll make sure that you have one to call your very own. Man, today, what a great song, Dan and worship team. Thanks for leading us in that song. You never know what a day is going to bring. I mean, you heard George just a moment ago reference an opportunity that's on the very near horizon. This time last week, we were sharing with you how we're listening and we're trying to understand how we can help neighbors to the south in the Gulf Coast and Houston and down around those areas of the Texas coast that have been affected. And We tried to put some reputable agencies to partner with to know how to begin to help. And man, this last week I got a phone call from a friend of mine I've known for several years. His name is Aaron Beasley. Aaron is a youth pastor and an associate pastor at Crestwood Baptist Church down in Lumberton, Texas. I don't even really know where Lumberton is until I Googled it. And I'm like, wow, that is not far from Beaumont at all. And if you're kind of keeping track with what's been happening, where some of the places that have been hit the hardest from Hurricane Harvey, Beaumont is one of those areas that really has just been devastated. And so Lumberton is right outside of Beaumont. And I haven't talked to my friend Aaron in several years. I connected with him when I was one of the pastors over at the Heights Baptist Church. And he and his family were connected there. He's a Baylor grad and went to Truett Seminary. And so we've got some connections that way. But he said, you know, Dave, I'm calling everybody I know. Our pastor here just accepted a call to a church in El Paso about 3 months ago, and so it's me and it's our children's pastor, and we've got hundreds of families in our community that have just totally been wiped out. And the church, thankfully, Crestwood Baptist Church in Lumberton, really hasn't been that affected. So we've become headquarters, and we're distributing goods that are coming to this way. But all of the big relief agencies are going to Beaumont, or they're going to Houston, or they're going to Corpus, or they're going to some of these other larger places. And we're kind of down here on the bayou and on the rivers, and we're kind of on our own. And man, I don't know if you've got anybody who could come and spare a day or 2 days or a week or however long, but we're mudding out homes of hundreds and hundreds of people in our community. And if you can help or anybody you know can help, come on. We can host 75 at a time, bring an air mattress. We got portable showers at the church. We've got electricity. And man, we've got the tools, and we'll send you everything else you need to know. What do you say? And I said, we'll be there. As much as we can help, we'll be there. I know everybody won't be able to help, but some people will be able to help. And so, man, if you're going, what does that look like? I don't even know. It's still coming into focus. But go to our website, arapahoeroad.org/Harvey, and you can see updates this week. Aaron sent me some things last night about what to bring, some waiver forms, and just some ways that we can begin to prepare. And then this Wednesday, as you heard George mention, I think it's in the art, we're going to meet in the fellowship hall just to pray from 6 to 7 for our friends affected by Harvey, affected by Irma, and just go, Lord, how do you want us to respond? And if you want to get more information, if you want to begin to sign up, you'll have the opportunity to do that. And so you just never know what a day is going to bring. You never know. But when the Lord puts something in your lap, you try as best you can to respond with yes. Absolutely, yes. I've been seeing what the Lord's been doing on our campus over the last couple of years. And the Lord has just been bringing more and more and more people onto our campus from our neighborhood that don't speak English. They speak Spanish or they speak other languages. And their kids all speak English, or many of them do, and many of them speak Spanish or whatever ethnicity they come from. And the Lord's been bringing more and more people here. I'm going, Lord, how are we going to reach these friends? How are we going to help? Because I don't know how to speak but English, and my English isn't always that great. And so we've been praying, and I'm grateful that I've got friends around the corner that I've served with who do have some experience partnering and reaching Spanish-speaking friends in the community, and through friendships. We've talked around here a long time about how God moves along the rails of relationship. And through my friend Pastor Miguel Lopez, whom I served with over at the Heights Baptist Church, he's the pastor of the Heights in Spanish. He said, man, let me pray with you, let me walk alongside, let me connect you with some folks in our community that can help. And he connected me with Lazaro Chapa. Lazaro's here this morning with his family. Lazaro's with the Dallas Baptist Association. And man, he's really been working hard to walk alongside of our leadership team and to explore possibilities of what it might look like for a Spanish-speaking expression to be birthed here at Arapahoe Road. And so through our ongoing conversations, he connected us with Pastor Joel Ake. And Pastor Joel, I'm so glad that you're here today. When we first met in my office a month or so ago, and we were just kind of telling stories, he says, Pastor David, I've been to your church before. I'm going, well, it's not my church, it's Jesus' church, but I know what you mean. And he said, yeah, my son and daughter-in-law used to be members here. And through your preaching ministry, you led my daughter-in-law to Christ and baptized her before they then moved over to Fort Worth for work. And I was here that day that her baptism took place. I'm like, wow, really? And so, welcome. And to all of our friends from Iglesia Cristiana Berea, welcome. We're so glad you're here today. I'm so thrilled that you're here, and you just never know what a day is going to bring. I'm so excited that we get to host you for lunch today, and some of our Spanish-speaking members in Arapahoe Road are going to be there. Some of our leadership team is going to be there. If you're going, am I supposed to be there? You're probably not supposed to be at this one, okay? Because we don't want to overwhelm everybody, but there'll probably be a day. And so where are we going to go from here? I don't know. I don't know what a day is going to bring, but I know who brings the day. And I know who holds the day in his hands, and it's the Lord Jesus. And we want to see in his scripture today some things that Jesus wants us to see. And they're powerful, powerful, powerful truths. And so if you're in Hebrews 13, I want you to look with me first at verse 7, and then in a minute we'll move to verse 8. But look what it says in verse 7. This is great. So great. It says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, and consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Imitate their faith. And as I think about that verse of scripture, I think about influential people in my life beyond just my family. Extremely influential in my walk with Jesus and coming to know Jesus and understanding who he wants to be in my life and what the Word of God is to be in my life. My family's been great. But I think about some others outside of just my family who have influenced my life and shaped my life as I've tried to follow Jesus since I put my faith, hope, and trust in him as a second grader. Names of influential men like Bob Johns and Neil McClendon and Dave Busby and Dale Hollis and Ron Cook and Dudley Callison and Dr. Gary Singleton have just flashed through my mind as I read Hebrews 13, verse 7. Think about who has been influential in your life. Who is it that God's allowed to be in your life? Maybe it is your parents. Kids, would you draw me a picture this morning of that person or some people that God's put in your life to help you understand who Jesus is? To help you understand what the Bible means? draw me a picture this morning of those people. And when we're finished, put it on the artboard out here in the Home Life Center. Maybe for you, it's somebody like Pastor Dan or Miss Nicole, or maybe it's some of our Awana leaders. And man, I'm so excited that Awana's starting up today in the 25th year here at Arapahoe Road. Maybe it's one of your large group leaders. Maybe it's somebody like Miss Allison. Maybe it's somebody from Lionheart like Miss Tama. Who are those people, leaders in your life, that God has blessed you with? I'd love to see a picture of who those people are. When we're finished this morning, I want to come see who God's brought to your mind. I'll tell you, there's another person that God's brought to my mind and into my life. I've spoken about this man before. His name is Louis Giglio. God really used Louis to mentor me, to shape me, to help me know how to study God's Word, how to preach God's Word. For over 30 years, he's helped me and mentored me and taught me. And Louis really said some things to me when I was a junior in high school. That was a long, long time ago, galaxy far, far away. About 1990, he said some things to me that have just stuck with me. I've thought about them in recent days. I want to share them with you today because as we're at the beginning of a new school year, and as we've kind of enjoyed the final bon voyage to Labor Day weekend and summer and all that good stuff, we've kind of started to get back into a rhythm. Many of us have gotten out of the summer rhythm and into a new school year rhythm. And man, before we move much further, I just really feel compelled to bring a message this morning that reminds us of some truth. And here's the truth that I want us to think about in one sentence. It's this. It's that the broad stroke of life is made up of a very significant element called today. Think about that just for a minute. The broad stroke of life is made up of a very significant element called today. And I just feel compelled to kind of reframe that reality for all of us as we're approaching a new week, kind of getting started into a new school year, and try to kind of jerk us out from thinking about the broadness of the semester, the wholeness of the school year, the wholeness of your life, and just try to begin to think about today. Would you just say the word today with me on three? One, two, three. Today. I did a little math. If you live to be 70 years old, you will live 25,550 days on this earth. Now, some of us will live that long. Some of us will not live that long. Some of us already have lived that long. And you're like, I'm already winning. I'm winning today. I'm past 70. Good for you. Way to go. Awesome job. But if we all were to live to be 70, 25,550 precious opportunities that only come around once. They only come around once. They can't ever be duplicated, and they can't ever be experienced ahead of time. They come around as a precious gift of God once. 25,550 todays that only come around once. So if you're 18, you're kind of sitting there going, okay, I'm 18. Well, what's that for me? If you're 18, you've already used up 6,570 days. You only have 18,980 days to go. They're only going to come around one time. Make the most, you're going, well, how about you? See, I'm 44 years and some change. You go, wow, you look older than that. And I feel older than that some days too. Do you know that I've already used up 16,341 days? I got 9,209 days left to go. If I get the opportunity, if I get the privilege to live to be 70, I may only have one more day. Only God knows. The Word of God says He's numbered our days. He knows. As long as He knows, that sets my heart at ease. And you're going, Pastor Dave, why are you doing all this math here about living to the age of 70? Because I want us to begin to kind of break down our lives and to begin thinking about this, the significance of a single day. The significance of a single day. Why? Why do we want to talk about that? Why do we want to break that down? It's because of this. Because if God can call you, and if God can call me to be on target to live for His glory today, to be on target to live by His word, just like the leaders in our life that came to our mind, that live following Jesus, that live according to this word, if we can live on target today, then that means you and I, we're going to have a major impact on our world. Whether this world lasts 10,000 more years or one more minute past this time that we have together, God will use us if we live on target today in a powerful, powerful way. And so if you and I can focus clearly on today, we're going to see that Jesus thinks today has an incredible opportunity. See, yesterday's gone, and its unique opportunities are gone with it. And men and women, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. All we have for certainty, according to God's word, is right now. Today. Today becomes a valuable thing, doesn't it? And you and I begin to see how the enemy works in our lives to try to throw us and thrust us into thinking not just about today, but about the broad stroke of our lives, and to try to thrust us into the future, and to try to lock us into our past so that we miss out on the precious opportunity of, guess what? Today. Today. And men and women, following Jesus has powerful implications into the future. And following Jesus has powerful implications about our past. But following Jesus is mostly defined in the present. Today, right now, at 11:35 on September the 10th, 2017. Because we know we have right now. We've got this moment following Jesus. And so I want to look at two things this morning in our remaining time that really has to do with maximizing today. The first thing is this. Today, we have the opportunity for a new beginning and to experience a fresh start in Jesus Christ. So if you're taking notes, that's a good one to write down. Today, we have the opportunity for a new beginning and to experience a fresh start in Jesus Christ. See, the reality for many of us this morning is very simple, and it's this. Many of us who are sitting here today on September the 10th, 2017, we're still living in our past. Months in our past, years in our past. There are people sitting in this building, there are some listening online who've never been able to really seize the day. They've never been able to maximize the moment because their lives have been in bondage to the things and to the events and to the circumstance that happened in their past. Maybe it was 5 months ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 15 years ago or more. And there's scars in their life, and there's hurt that remains in their life. There's frustration in their life. There's this buildup of anger maybe in your life. And every day you look at today, what you see is not the opportunity of today, but just a cloud, maybe even a hurricane over the opportunities, the experiences of today that you could walk into because of what's happened in your past. And there's some who are here today that are just in bondage to your past. And a man or a woman, a teenager, a boy or a girl, a child will never make the kind of impact in our world for Christ. He or she will never really dare to be different unless they allow Jesus to walk them through the days of their past and to settle the issues of the past once and for all. See, it is Jesus who can unlock us from the bonds of the past and the bondage of our past. It's Jesus who can begin to unlock us from the memories of our past, from the hurts of our past, from the frustrations of the past, from the anger of the past, from all those things that were wronged in the past. It's Jesus who wants to release you from the past. And Jesus can do that. Here's why. Because Jesus is Lord of the past. Jesus is Lord of the past. And not just the past, but Jesus is also Lord of the present. And Jesus is Lord of the future. And why do I say all that? Because that is vital for us to hold on to this morning. If we stop reading at verse 7, we're shortchanging a vital truth for us this morning. Look what the writer of Hebrews goes on to say in this next verse. It's powerful. It has powerful implications in our life if we claim to be a follower of Jesus. Look what it says in verse 8. Hebrews 13, 8. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, the past, today, the present, and forever. That means the future. Let me just ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus is Lord? Well, I do. And so if Jesus is Lord, and we just read that He's the same yesterday and today and forever, then what that means logically is that Jesus is Lord of your past, and He's Lord of your present, and He's Lord of your future. And Jesus, because of who He is, and because of His nature, and because of His power, He has the ability to be in your past right now. To be in your past, and to be in the present, and to be in your future. And that doesn't confuse Him at all. That's why He's at ease, although His heart breaks for what's happening in the world. He's at ease with Himself in this world that He's created. He knows the plan. And that's why you and I oftentimes are so uneasy, so anxious, so perplexed at times. How many of you are sitting there, or you know somebody, don't elbow that person sitting next to you. But we kind of always are going, gosh, I wish this hadn't happened and that hadn't happened, and if this were different and if that was different, and if all those things were different, well, then I would be different. If my past were different, my present would be totally different. My future would be great. And maybe this morning as you're listening to this message, what keeps coming to the surface of your heart and mind, kind of the storm surge of your heart this morning, is how you've been hurt in the past. You're like, Pastor David, I wish you wouldn't have brought that up because I was doing okay till I came to church. Thank you very much. But now all of a sudden, boom, here it comes. And I'm not making light of your pain in your past in any way. You may have genuinely and deeply been hurt. Maybe it wasn't fair whatever happened to you in your past. When you total it all up, it wasn't fair and it wasn't right and it wasn't just and you didn't deserve it. Maybe it wasn't sufficient or someone wasn't there for you, or they weren't there for you enough. They weren't there for you when they said they'd be there. Maybe you never got loved in your past. Maybe you're still mad. Maybe you've got
Maybe you've got anger and bitterness in your heart around something that happened in the past. I'll tell you this. You play into the hands of Satan, who's going to try to rob you of every single day that you ever live. If you live in bondage to your past. And you and I are going to stand before Almighty God one day, and He's going to say, "Hey, I love you, and I was Lord of the past. And I was willing to walk back into that past with you and to meet whatever need you had to help you deal and heal whatever hurt took place and to settle that moment that locked you up all those days ahead." Let me show you what I mean by that. Let's say you're bitter this morning. You don't say it a lot out loud, but people can just at times kind of tell, something's happened there. And when you least expect it, man, that bitterness or that anger just kind of shoot out of you and knock somebody down like, "Wow, I just want to know if you wanted coffee. Sorry. No, it's not you, it's me." I mean, maybe it was something that happened at school, maybe something that happened at work, maybe something that happened when you were little, a long time ago, and it seems like it was just a little thing, and it could seem to others like a silly thing, but to you it's a major big deal. You just got this tremendous amount of bitterness that you've been harboring in your life, and every now and then it just, whoa, storm surges. And I wonder if you're kind of going, "Yeah, that's me, man." If that's you, I wonder if this morning you'd kind of begin to get into a different mindset and go, "Jesus, if you are still in my past, let's just walk back to the past together. Okay, Jesus and I, we're going to walk mentally, emotionally, spiritually back into the past that He's still Lord of, because He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And although I'm inside of time and space, Jesus is outside of time and space because He created time and space. So while that's confusing to me, it's not confusing to you. And so I'm going to go with Pastor David on this and trust that, Jesus, you're there. And so it doesn't take me long mentally to get to the past. So Jesus, I'm going to hope to meet you there." And there He is. I wonder if when you get back to that place where you were hurt, you were wronged, you were wounded, and Jesus is there, and in your imagination, your mind's eye, you just kind of begin to have a conversation with Him that goes something like this: "Jesus, I was wronged." And Jesus would say, "I know you were wronged. I understand that. I've been wronged before too." And you say, "But it wasn't fair." And He'll say, "I know it wasn't fair. It sure wasn't fair. I understand that it wasn't fair. As a matter of fact, I remember hanging on that cross thinking, this is not fair." And you may just tell, "Jesus, but it hurt me deeply." And to have Jesus say to you, "I know what it means to be hurt deeply." And then for you to begin to get your eyes off of that event, that painful moment, and just to kind of begin to go, "Let me look at you, Lord. Let me get my eyes off of that thing or that person, that moment. And Jesus, what did you do? What did you say?" And to have Him answer you with, "Well, when I was hurt deeply, what I said was, Father, forgive them. Because they don't even know what they're doing." And to have Jesus then saying, "You know what, I forgive you. And I'll give you the power to forgive them." And for you to look into that situation and say, "Man, by the power of Jesus, I'm going to choose to forgive. I choose to forgive you, Dad. I choose to forgive you, Mom, or brother, or uncle, or boss, or neighbor, or total stranger, whoever you are. And Jesus just says, okay, let's start walking back to the present. You sit there and you're going, okay, Pastor David, what are you saying? Are you saying I'm just supposed to go back to the past with Jesus and just forgive? I'm saying you have two choices. You have the choice of going back mentally, emotionally, spiritually with the Lord of the past, who's already in your past and who's already in your present, who's already in your future, because he's the same yesterday and today and forever. And you have the choice of going back and doing something that whoever wounded you can't do with you. And that's to yield yourself to the person of Christ and to find in him strength to forgive. Or, if you don't want to do that choice, you can continue to live absolutely bound and chained to bitterness and pain. Because you see, it's not going to do Dad any good, because Dad may not be here anymore. It's not going to do brother or sister or uncle or that total stranger any good. They may not want to hear it. They may be long gone. It's not going to do them any good, but it's going to free you. And the choice to forgive is going to begin to cut you loose. And then you know what's going to happen? Then the enemy's going to come to you and he's going to remind you all over again that you didn't get a fair shake because so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. And when the enemy comes and reminds you that, you say, hey, man, forget so-and-so. I forgave so-and-so. And I'm free. And I've been liberated to have a fresh start to live a new life that begins today. For the first time in a long time, I'm living free today as a whole person who's choosing not to be mad at the whole world, but as a person who's experienced the power of Jesus and what it means to forgive. To let Jesus go back to your past, men and women, to let him heal those hurts, that pain from your past, and to tell him where they hurt, and to let him love those deeply wounded places. He wants to love those places. He wants to bring healness. He wants healing. He wants to bring wholeness back to you so you can begin to love again and to live again. And as I say that, some of you are going, man, I can't do that by myself. That's one of the reasons why God gave great licensed professional counselors to help you walk through some of those painful parts. And you're going, man, I don't even know where to begin. If you don't have any idea where to begin and you'd like some help, you can email me at david@arapahoeroad.org and I'll send some options your way. Or you can fill out a little connect card like this and just say, LPC, licensed professional counselor. And I'll connect with you this week and I'll call you tomorrow. And we'll find you somebody that can help you walk into the past and allow Jesus to begin to deal with your past. You know what the truth is? Sad truth is this. There's a lot of people who have a painful past. They don't want to go back to the past. They fear doing that. And it's caused you to live in isolation. We talk around here every week about living in community. Being connected authentically. That's where many of you came from the previous hour. You were in life groups where you have an opportunity to live authentically and get to know some other people and they get to know you. But there's some who are going, I don't want to do that. I don't really want to be healed from the past because really, if I'm gut level honest, I'm kind of getting used to living at a disadvantage with the rest of the world. And I just would rather have a pity party, to be real honest with you. I don't want to honestly face the rest of my life as a new person because I'm afraid that I'll fail because I failed in the past. But man, if that's you, I just encourage you, let today be different. You've got a chance today to take a step forward in your faith with Jesus, to walk into the past, to walk to those areas, to get with Jesus, and to let Him settle some things in you. When you get with Jesus, you can settle anything. When you get with Jesus, you can settle anything and settle those painful issues with Him and then come on back to the present and start over again today. Fresh life, fresh start today. Men and women, I hope and I pray that this morning you'd be willing to move through your past back to your present and start brand new so you can live today free from regrets and pain in the past, and also that you can live free from any pressures in the future. That's the second thing I want to wrap up with here and spend less time on this than the first one, because so many are dealing with that first one, but some are dealing with this second one, and it's this: today you've got the opportunity to be able to release your fears about the future. Today you have the opportunity to be able to release your fears about the future. Some of you see yourself as pressed when you're thinking about the future. You're like, oh man, whew, that causes me to breathe fast just thinking about my tomorrow. And you're so anxious about what's going to happen in your life. You're so concerned about how things are going to work out or not going to work out, and so eager to get on with your tomorrow that you miss out on, take a guess, today. You miss out on today. And you live your whole life, all of your prayers are asking God about what, God, how are you going to do this tomorrow? And maybe you're so anxious about what's going to happen tomorrow that the enemy has robbed you of what you could have been enjoying and experiencing today. Do you know that today is the first installment of your future? Today is. And so if you're really concerned about your future, then guess what you're really going to be most concerned about? Today. Because it's the first installment of your tomorrow. Our future is going to be made up of every single thing we did, take a guess, today. 25,550 todays. It only come around one time. Today's the first ingredient of your future. There's a couple places on the in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus speaks to this. You don't have to turn there right now. It'll be on the screen. But man, this week, I encourage you, would you just read through Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. 5, 6, and 7. If you just read through Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you'll not only hear the words of Jesus, you'll begin to hear the heart of Jesus, this one who can free you from the past and free you from pressure in the future. And I love what Jesus says in Matthew 6, verses 27 and 34. Look what he says here. It's on the screen. It says, "And which one of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" Verse 34, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Why does Jesus tell us not to be anxious about tomorrow? That's kind of crazy, isn't it? Oh, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about your future. Don't think about your future. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about if you're going to get a job or who you're going to marry, who you're going to spend the rest of your life with. Don't worry about that. Is that really what Jesus is saying? Well, maybe, but let's put it in context, because he said some things right in the middle of verse 27 and verse 34 that we really need to also understand. Look what he says in verses 32 and 33. It's on the screen. He says, "For the Gentiles seek after these things." Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? How am I going to get this? "And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things..." All your worries of tomorrow, man, they're going to be added unto you. Let me just ask you a second simple question. I mean, it's almost embarrassing. It's so simple. Might insult you, so don't answer out loud, because I don't want you to be embarrassed or insulted. But it's this: Do you believe Jesus knows the future? Not just the future, but your future. Do you believe he knows your future? Do you believe he knows what's the very best for you? The very best for you, that's not even something you know. You realize that? That we don't know the very best thing for us, but Jesus knows the future. He knows. He knows. And every time we hear those words, that should set our hearts at ease about the future. He knows. You may be sitting there going, yeah, but Pastor David, I'm not going to be at ease until I know. Listen, if you knew your future today, if I knew my future today, you and I together would botch our lives up so bad. We would mess it up so bad, we would. I mean, if God came and answered your prayer, God, please tell me about the future. What's going to happen in my future? And he said, okay, well, let me just tell you because you bugged me. He'd never say that, by the way, because he loves you. But let's just pretend. All right, you bugged me long enough. Here's your future. You ready for it? You're like, yep, go. Hang on. Let me get my iPhone out. Record. Don't want to miss this. All right. Here's how it's going to work. You're going to do this, this, and then you're going to do this. And you're going to go, time out. No, I don't want to do this, this, and this. I want to do that, that. I'm not even going to like this. I don't know how to do this. No, God, let me shine the light over here. I want to do that. That's what you created me fearfully and wonderfully for. And God's going, no. Don't you do this, this, and this. See, we'd be botching up everything, wouldn't we? We'd mess our lives up so bad. And Jesus says, I know your future. I know what you need. I'm not going to let you down. I am going to be right on time, in the right place, right in the right moment, doing just the right thing on your behalf. And maybe that makes you go, well, amen, isn't that great? But see, if you believe that in your heart this morning, you can just lay down your future. And you know what happens when you begin to lay down your future? After you've let Jesus settle your past, you begin to enjoy today. The day that the Lord has made. And to notice that there were people in your life today who needed somebody to tell them that they were loved. And let me just summarize this message for you as we wrap up. If you want to make a difference in your world, if you want to dare to be different, then let God in the person of Jesus Christ settle the issues of your past with you. Because you trust in Jesus who knows the future, just begin to release and lay down the pressures of your future and tomorrow. And do you know what happens? When you release the hand of the past and the future to the Lord, you get to receive and enjoy the gift of today. And the broad stroke of your life can be experienced in this moment. And the unique gift that God gives you called today can be maximized. Maximized for the kingdom. You know what the scripture says? The scripture says that today can be the day of your salvation. If you've never put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, what the scripture says, what my leaders have taught me throughout the ages, is to confess, Jesus, I am a sinner. You are the Savior. I believe what you did on the cross was for me just as much as the whole world. And I admit I'm a sinner. I admit you're the Savior. I believe in you, Jesus, and I call on your name. The Word of God says every person who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If I can help you do that this week, If I can help you do that when we finish here in 2 minutes, I'd love that opportunity. If you want to get together and have a cup of coffee and talk through that or walk through some pain this week, would you just fill out that little connect card? Would you mark on there, I want more information about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, or a prayer request, or whatever it is that I can help you with. I'd love nothing more than to invest part of my today with you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.